Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents All the Broken Pieces by Cindy Madsen, narrated by Sarah Molo Christensen. Chapter 1. White ceiling, a fuzzy face hovering over hers, gloved fingers against her skin, a steady chirping noise mixed in with words she couldn't quite catch hold of. Opening her eyes took so much effort, and they kept closing before she got a good look. One prick, another, tugging at her skin. A blurry arm moved up and down in time with the pinpricks. I think I'm going to puke. Strange, dreamlike voices floated over her.
I think she's waking up.
She's not ready yet. Cold liquid shot into her arm at her elbow and wound up to her shoulder, through her chest, until it spread into her entire body. Then blackness sucked her back under. Her leg twitched, then an arm. She wasn't telling them to move. They kept doing it on their own. Her eyes flickered open and she caught a flash of a white ceiling. The chirping noise sounded out, steady and loud. With a gasp, she shot up. Hands eased her back down into the soft pillows. Take it easy, a blurry form said. She blinked a couple times and her vision cleared. A woman stood over her, a warm smile on her face. Her dark hair fell from behind her ear as she moved closer. How are you feeling? Confusion filled her. She felt lost, scared. She wasn't sure what. Her throat burned as she tried to form a sentence. The words didn't sound right. They were thick and slurred. Frustration added to the confusion as she tried again. What's going... am I? The woman reached down and cupped her cheek.
Shh, you were in an accident, but everything will be fine.
She searched her memory. There was nothing. Nothing but flashes of being in this room. I feel strange.
But you're talking. That's an excellent sign.
The woman sat on the edge of the bed.
Do you remember anything? The accident? Your name?
Pain shot across her head as she searched through the fuzziness. Tears pricked her eyes. I don't remember anything.
Olivia. Honey, it's me. Your name is Olivia, and I'm...
Her smile widened, and unshed tears glistened in her eyes.
I'm your mother, Victoria Stein.
Olivia tried to put the images together, tried to make sense of it all. But it didn't fit, or she couldn't remember if it did. A tear escaped and ran down her cheek. The woman, Mom... leaned down and hugged her.
It's okay. You were in a bad car accident and had to have several surgeries, but you're going to be just fine, because I'm going to take such good care of you.
Mom squeezed Olivia's hand.
Let me go get Henry, your father. He'll be so glad to see that you're finally awake.
When Dad stepped into the room, he didn't look familiar either. Olivia saw the concern in his eyes, but there was something else. He seemed reluctant. Mom pointed at the chirping monitor.
Look at her heart rate. She can understand me and she can talk.
Why is she saying it like that? Like it's a big surprise. Olivia licked her lips and forced the question from her dry throat.
Why wouldn't I be able to talk?
Mom sat on the foot of the bed.
Because, dear, your injuries were so severe. The brain trauma and your heart.
She shook her head, then placed her hands over her own heart, looking like she might start crying.
You're our little miracle.
Olivia reached up, feeling the tender spots on her head. Her fingers brushed across a row of... were those little ridges made of metal?
Careful. The staples are almost ready to come out, but it's still going to be sore for a while.
Staples? Her stomach rolled. I have staples in my head?
She lowered her now shaking hand. Can I get a mirror?
Mom looked at Dad, then back at her. I don't think that's a good idea. Not until you've healed a little more.
Olivia gave two slow nods. If only everything weren't so strange. If she could just remember something. Anything.
You're healing very well,
Dad said.
And your heartbeat is strong. That's good.
Mom smiled at her. That's because you're amazing.
Dad grabbed Mom's hand.
Darling, I need to talk to you about something. In the other room.
Mom patted Olivia's leg. You just relax, I'll be back in a few minutes.
The two of them left the room, but when Mom swung the door closed, it didn't latch. Olivia could hear their voices in the hall.
I still think we should...
She couldn't make out the rest of Dad's muffled words.
Know if I can do this.
Late for that, Mom said. We'd lose everything, including... Her voice faded as they got farther away. Have to move.
She could tell the conversation was tense, but the words were impossible to decipher now. Holding a hand in front of her face, she turned it back and forth. A plastic tube ran from her arm to a machine next to her bed.
Weird. Everything was weird.
She pulled a strand of her hair forward. Dark brown, like Mom's. But it didn't help her remember how she looked or who exactly she was. She kicked off her covers and stared at her legs. Running her gaze up and down, she assessed the damage. A few bruises and cuts. Her chest felt tight. She peeked into her nightgown and stared in horror at the long red stripe running down her chest.
Gross. You're alive. You shouldn't be thinking about looks.
She dropped the nightgown, then put a palm over her heart.
Ouch.
Lowering her hand, she scanned the room.
I wonder how my face looks.
From the way Dad stared at me, plus the fact that Mom won't let me see a mirror, it must be bad.
Brains are more important than looks.
That's what ugly people say.
Olivia put her hands on her head and squeezed. Stop it, she whispered to her arguing thoughts, hysteria bubbling up and squeezing the air from her lungs. What was happening to her? Why didn't she recognize her parents or know where she was? Who she was? Tears ran warm trails down her cheeks.
Just make it all stop.
Mom swung the door open and walked into the room.
What was that, dear?
Olivia swiped the tears off her face. Nothing. Is everything okay? Mom nodded.
Of course. I'm going to take some time off from work to help you heal. As soon as we get you recovered enough, we're moving. After everything that's happened, I think we could use a fresh start.
Olivia was still too hazy to think about a fresh start. All she knew was that something seemed wrong. Make that everything seemed wrong. So she clung to the hope that she would recover quickly, and that when she did, all the wrongness would go away.
Chapter 2
Olivia twisted a strand of hair around her finger as she stared out her bedroom window. Women strode past wearing workout gear and swinging their arms. People walked their dogs. Kids rode bikes up and down the street. The outside world was busy. But, as usual, she was in her room, on the inside, looking out. A knock sounded on the door, followed by Mom walking in.
The clothes we ordered came today.
Olivia glanced at the cardboard box Mom set on the floor, then returned her attention to the window. A young brunette girl pulled a wagon filled with dolls and stuffed animals down the sidewalk, her mouth moving, even though no one else was near her. Olivia leaned closer to the window, unable to take her eyes off the girl.
I feel like I know her. Or not her, but someone.
The image of a white cartoon kitten, red bow over one ear, popped into her head. A heaviness entered her chest, and she had this strangest urge to run outside and throw her arms around the little brunette. The girl looked up to the window. Normally, Olivia stepped back before anyone saw her. This time, she wasn't fast enough. The little girl didn't shrink away, though. Giant grin on her face, she lifted a hand and waved. It took a few seconds for Olivia to wave back.
"Who were you waving at?"
Mom asked. "Just a little girl."
"Well, don't you want to try these on?"
She had been eager to get clothes that fit better. The first ones Mom ordered had been too big. But now that they were finally here, she wasn't in the mood. It wasn't like new clothes could fix what was wrong with her. "Why'd we have to move before I got a chance to talk to my old friends?" Mom's head jerked up.
"I thought you didn't remember your friends."
Hard as she tried, nothing from her old life, no memories of Rochester, Minnesota, besides the days in her room there, came back to her. She ran a finger down the window, leaving a smudge in its wake. "I don't, but maybe if I just saw them, I'd..."
"You kept to yourself. You were homeschooled. I've told you all this before."
Any time Olivia brought up the past, Mom got so weird. Fresh start was like her favorite phrase. Olivia sighed, then crossed her room and lifted one of the shirts from the box. She slid it out of the plastic bag and stepped into her adjoining bathroom. Even though Mom had seen the scars before, she felt raw and too open when they were exposed. She peeled off her baggy shirt and dropped her gaze to the line running down the middle of her chest. Over the past month and a half, the scar had faded from bright red to dark pink, but it still looked gross. The one on her neck wasn't much better, though at least she could hide it by wearing her hair down. She squared off in front of the mirror and stared at the girl looking back at her. She kept waiting for the day when she'd see her reflection and remember who she was. The fact that it never looked right, never seemed familiar, always left her unsettled. "I guess I should just be happy my face healed. I looked like some kind of monster for weeks." Both of the voices in her head had been pretty horrified when she'd first seen her puffy, bruised face in the mirror. Even the one that claimed looks weren't important. At first, the voices had completely freaked her out. She knew it wasn't normal to have constantly arguing thoughts running through her mind. But she was such a mess when she woke up from the coma, and Mom and Dad had already been so stressed over her recovery that she kept deciding to wait to tell them. Then week after week passed, and she didn't know how to bring it up. How to tell them that in addition to being scarred and having no memories, something else was seriously wrong with her. "It's just a side effect from my injuries. They'll go away. They have to." She pulled this stiff black t-shirt over her head, glad to see it not only fit, but also covered her scar.
"You should have gone with pink."
All the muscles in her body tensed. She waited for the retort, knowing it would come.
"I hate pink. It's like happiness threw up on me."
Olivia let out a long breath, trying to release tension, and then focused on what she thought of the shirt. With the intense desert heat, she'd love to wear nothing but tank tops. They didn't cover enough, though. When they'd moved a couple weeks ago, they'd made the trip at night. Each time she'd woken up, they'd been in a new city, a new state, until they'd ended up here, in Cottonwood, Arizona. They pick hot, dry, middle of nowhere, of all places. There's nothing but dirt and cactuses. Not that it matters. It's not like I ever go anywhere anyway.
"So?" Mom asked. "How does it look?"
Olivia pushed open the door.
"Well, it fits. You want to try on the rest?"
Trying on another shirt meant facing this stranger in the mirror and the scar on her chest again.
"Maybe later."
"Come downstairs, then, and I'll get you a snack so you can take your pills before we move on to your lessons."
When Mom had started reviewing school subjects with her, information popped into her head, slowly at first, then faster and faster. Math was her favorite. It was always the same. And at least something looked familiar, even if it was only proofs.
I'll be right down.
Olivia walked back to her window and pulled the curtains wide. All day she'd been trying to work up the courage to talk to Mom and Dad. Hiding in her bedroom wasn't getting her anywhere, and it was starting to feel suffocating, more like a cage than a haven. At first, she'd remained isolated because of how hideous she knew she looked. But now, even after her face healed and her ugly scars could be hidden with her hair and clothing, the thought of being around people she didn't know terrified her. I've got to get out there sometime, sooner rather than later, if I'm going to follow through with my plan. Yesterday, she'd gone online to look up more about the town they'd just moved to and found out the new school year started in 2 weeks. 2 weeks to get herself socially ready for public school. Just thinking about it sent her pulse racing.
You're never going to change the world from your room.
Forget changing the world. How about a little social interaction besides Mom and Dad?
Olivia pressed her fingers to her temples. Maybe getting out with other people would help make the voices go away too, or at least drown them out for a while. She thought about the little girl who'd waved at her. All the people who passed her window, experiencing the outside world, smiling and talking to their friends. She wanted that. She also hoped that by being around people her age, she'd get a better grasp of who she was and then stop feeling so lost.
And smart women are powerful.
So are popular women.
Ugh, no more, just shut up, both of you.
Trying not to think that yelling at her thoughts made her a total freak, she lifted her chin and took a deep breath.
I can do this, she said, then headed downstairs.
With every step she took, her chest got tighter. By the time she made it to the kitchen, she could hardly breathe. Dad looked up as she came in.
There's my girl. How are you doing today?
I'm okay. How was your first day as the newest doctor at the Cottonwood Cardiac Care Center?
She knew he'd been nervous about it last night, even though Mom had assured him the center would be thrilled to have one of the Mayo Clinic's top cardiac surgeons working for them.
I hate first days. I don't know anyone, don't know where anything goes. It's good to be home.
The courage she'd built up started to fade. Dad didn't make the outside world sound all that great. In fact, he made it sound intimidating. Mom pointed to the crackers, cheese, and carrot sticks she'd put out on a platter.
Have something to eat, and here.
She dumped a handful of pills onto the counter, filled a glass of water, and passed it over. Olivia took the pills and washed them down with the water. She glanced at the table where Mom had already set up for today's lesson. Just a couple of books and a lonely notepad. Hours of no sound but her pencil scratching against the paper, Mom's pacing, the clock ticking. If I ever want to have friends, I'm going to have to face my fear. Her pulse pounded through her head, and her throat went dry.
I've made a decision. I've decided that I want to enroll in school.
Mom's mouth dropped. Dad grinned. Reaching across the counter and putting a hand on her shoulder, Mom said,
Honey, I don't think that's a good idea. She wants to, Dad said. If she wants to go, we should...
Because there are germs out there that she's extra vulnerable to because of her condition and the meds she's on. Public school's not a good idea right now.
Disappointment felled her, bursting the image she'd dreamed up of laughing and talking with friends. Of being normal.
I'm not going to drop it this time.
Dad set his jaw.
You've got to let her live, Victoria.
Mom's nostrils flared, and Olivia braced for the harsh words that were about to be thrown at Dad.
I'm her mother, and I'll decide what's best for...
If you don't sign her up,
Dad said, his voice calm but firm.
I will.
Chapter 3. The morning before school, anxiety crept in along with excitement. She'd had 2 weeks of practice social runs, nightly walks, a grocery store trip that ended in only a minor hyperventilating spell, dinner at a restaurant, a drive to Jerome for window shopping. Each trip started with the panicky, "I can't do this" feeling. In time, it got easier. Even after the practice runs, though, she still felt shaky at knowing how to act and what to say. And here she was, minutes away from going into an unfamiliar building filled with people. People her age who weren't missing all their memories. What if I don't fit in? That would be all kinds of tragical. I hope I don't fit in. Most people are simple-minded followers. Her stomach clenched. Oh, joy, I'm already going crazy and I haven't even gotten to school yet. She shook her head, trying to clear it of her worries. The voices, fitting in, not fitting in. Right now, she needed to push it all aside and focus on surviving the day. She'd never make it if she started doubting herself now. Mom knocked on the open door and stepped into the room, wearing an expression suited for a funeral procession. "You know I'm happy to teach you at home. I just don't see why. You're a great teacher, Mom. You really are. But this is about me getting back to a normal life, making friends, having that fresh start you're always talking about." Germs, inadequate teachers, bullies, contact sports, and a slew of other things had been listed as reasons she shouldn't go. "I just worry about you, especially with your immune system so vulnerable right now." Mom sat on the foot of the bed. She picked up a notebook and flipped through its blank pages. "Since you insist on going, though, I think it's best you don't mention your memory problem, or even your accident." Olivia took the notebook from Mom and slid it into her backpack. "Why?" "Kids can be so cruel. Even after graduating top of my class in med school, becoming a neurosurgeon for the Mayo Clinic, and running my own Huntington's trial, I can still remember the hurtful comments they made over the years." Mom grabbed Olivia's hand. "I don't want you to get made fun of. And if you don't like public school, let me know and I'll go back to teaching you at home." She nodded, thinking over Mom's suggestion. "So how do I explain that I don't know certain things? Like anything involving my past?" "Give vague answers, and if you get cornered, call me, okay?" Tears formed in Mom's eyes. She stood and threw her arms around her. "I'm not ready to let you go. I've hardly had any time with you. You've had 16 years with me." Mom's suffocating grip tightened. "It doesn't seem like that long. You know I love you, right?" Olivia patted Mom's back. "I know, Mom. I love you too. But I'll be fine." She was telling herself as much as she was Mom. "I'm prepared for this." "I worry you haven't had sufficient time to recover from your accident." Mom seemed like she knew everything, but in this instance, Olivia desperately hoped she was wrong. The drive to school seemed slow and fast all at the same time. A flag hung on a pole at the entrance, and red railing lined the steps to the red doors. Even the letters painted on the building were red. The color was everywhere, and for some reason it made her entire body grow cold and clammy. Students ascended the stairs, a steady stream entering the building. "That's a lot of people to deal with," she thought, her panic going into hyperdrive. "Hopefully there are cute guys in there somewhere." "Who cares about guys? What if I can't keep up in classes?" "A cute guy will make that more bearable." Dad patted her knee.
"You're going to do great."
Olivia turned toward him. "Maybe Mom was right. Maybe I should wait until next semester. We'll do more test runs and..."
"You're registered. You've got everything you need, and you're a strong, smart girl. I have complete faith in you. Now, do you want me to walk you in, or will that be too embarrassing?"
"Don't do it. It's social suicide."
but I don't want to go alone. Dad reached for his door handle.
I got it. I'm going.
She took in a deep breath and blew it back out. Mom will be here to pick me up after school?
In just a few short hours.
She didn't think they'd be short, but at least it was something. Eyes fixed on the red double doors, she exited the car, slung her backpack over her shoulder, and headed for her first day of high school. For her first day of school ever. Her stomach clenched and her nerves were bouncing all over the place. Still, somewhere in that mess of emotions was a spark of excitement. As people walked by, she recoiled, flinching whenever anyone got close. Finally, she reached the doors and stepped inside. Fluorescent squares of light illuminated the hall, and red lockers lined the right side. The buzz of simultaneous conversations filled the air. This wasn't like the practice runs. It was louder and more cramped, and as her breath quickened, she started to get lightheaded. Everything blurred together. Too much stuff everywhere. Way too many people. Sweat broke out across her forehead, and she tried to remember why she thought this was a good idea. Okay, deep breath. I can do this. She forced her feet to start moving again. To her left stood a group of girls with flawless skin and hair, laughing and talking. I'm guessing that's the popular crowd. Two other girls glared at the clique. Bunch of followers, the one dressed in head-to-toe black said. It looked like she'd used an entire tube of eyeliner that morning.
Look at Sabrina's skirt, the other added. It barely covers her butt.
She's undoing all the progress feminists have made.
The girl in the center of the popular group, Sabrina, apparently, turned back and glowered at the two girls. Pretty would be an understatement. She had shiny chestnut hair, tan skin, and large blue eyes.
Why don't you losers take a picture? It'll last longer, Sabrina said, leaning closer to the girl in black. Jealous much?
I'd be jealous if my goal in life was to be a vapid trophy wife someday.
Watching them exchange verbal jabs was all too familiar. That's like what goes on in my head on a daily basis. Between the perky voice, the anti-conformist voice, and her own thoughts, it sometimes felt like being three people. Don't think about that right now. Focus on acting normal, blending in. As if to spite her, the higher-pitched voice in her head whispered, "Making friends." The other quickly came back with, "Becoming independent." Olivia closed her eyes and took a couple deep breaths. When she opened them, both Sabrina and the other two girls were looking at her. Not wanting to get dragged into the mess, she hurried past them. Studying the numbers on the lockers, she walked along the hall until she got to 207.
"You must be new," someone to her left said.
Olivia glanced around, checking to see if the person was talking to her. A blonde girl was looking directly at her, eyebrows raised.
Yeah, she said. I moved here over the summer.
I'm Kira.
Olivia.
So, do you always go by Olivia, or do you sometimes go by Liv? I've been obsessed with the name Liv forever. That's what I named my Barbie, my cat. I even asked my parents if I could change my name to it. I just love Liv, but if you don't like it, then I won't call you it. I'm just saying I know that's what I'd go by if my name were Olivia.
She stared for a moment, overwhelmed by how many words the girl had just thrown at her so quickly and trying to figure out how to respond. Finally, she simply shrugged.
Whatever is fine. You can call me Liv if you want to.
Cool. Well, I'm going to go catch up with some of my friends. We've been talking about our first day of junior year for like ever, and I'm dying to see what's new. If you need any help, though, just let me know.
She grinned, showing off her blindingly white teeth, then bounded down the hall. See? It's not so bad. That Kira girl was nice. And I kind of like Liv, actually. Fresh start and all, maybe I'll try it out. It sounds almost right. A tall, lanky guy walked up to a petite girl a couple lockers down, wrapping his arms around her and leaning in for a kiss. Olivia's insides
Sample complete. Ready to continue?